Our guests are as far apart on the contra question as American intellectuals can be. John Silver, the president of Boston University, was a member of the Kissinger Commission that diagnosed a security threat in Central America. Noam Chomsky, the language theorist at MIT, argues in his new book titled Turning the Tide that U.S. intervention in Central America is the acute case of our general misuse and misrule of the Third World. I'd like you to begin, President Silver. Address yourself to the waivers, if there are any in the U.S. Senate. Why would you vote for the contra money?
Well, the Senate of the United States has traditionally been in favor of supporting democratic forces as opposed to totalitarian forces. And if they continue that practice, they're going to vote against the Sandinistas, and they're going to vote in favor of the Contras. On October 15th, the Sandinistas passed an edict that suspends the protection against the search of homes without a warrant, that suspends the privacy of mail and allows for censorship of mail. They suspended the right of free assembly. They have suspended all freedom of the press. They have continued their harassment of their people and suspended virtually all democratic rights. The October 15th decree is much more restrictive and comprehensive than the decree that Hitler passed in February 28, 1933, when he ended the Democratic Republic of Weimar. Once you see this totalitarian nature of the regime, which was apparent since 1979 in September and has continued ever since then, it is time for the Senate of the United States to support the Democrats.
Noam Chomsky, in a short speech to the U.S. Senate, why would you be against the contra money?
Well, as even the most ardent supporters of the Contras now concede, this is what they call a proxy army, which is attacking Nicaragua from foreign bases, is entirely dependent on its masters for direction and support, has never put forth a political program, has created no base of political support within the country, and is it is led its entire military, almost its entire top military command is Somozist officers. Its military achievements so far consist of a long and horrifying series of very well documented torture and mutilation and atrocities, and essentially nothing else. The administration officials are now openly conceding in public that the main function of the Contras is to retard or reverse the rate of social reform in Nicaragua, and to try to create, to terminate the openness of that society. The state of siege, for example, which was imposed last fall, and which is very mild, I should say. There's much political opening in Nicaragua, as everyone there up to the American ambassador will tell you. That corresponds roughly to the state of siege which has been in place in El Salvador since early 1980, except that in El Salvador, it has been associated with a huge massacre of tens of thousands of people, destruction of the press, and so on and so forth. Whereas in Nicaragua, it is a reaction to a war that we are carrying out against them with precisely the purpose of trying to retard social reform and to restrict the possibilities of an open and developing society. And that's a cruel and savage policy which we should terminate.
In a complicated subject, I'd love to focus on...
Are you going to continue that series of plain falsehoods? That's a series of falsehoods, the like of which I've never seen, compacted in such a small period of time. The massacres that have occurred in Nicaragua have been the massacres by the Sandinistas of the Mosquito Indians. The repression there is massive. It is more serious than anything that we have seen in Central America or in any Latin American country to date. It is a genuine dictatorship imposed there, and to describe the leaders of the Contras as being supporters of Somoza is simply fabrication. Robelo, Cruz, Colero, Chamorro are not Somocistas and never have been. And when you take the leadership of the army of the Contras, some of them were members of the National Guard, but then if you're going to object to that, which would be highly unreasonable because that was an army that wasn't simply followers or supporters of Somocistas. It is important to remember that Modesta Rojas, the vice chairman of the Air Force of the Sandinistas, was also a member of the National Guard, and a very large number of members of the National Guard are the ones who are the coordinators of the block committees that imposed the dictatorship by the Sandinistas. This is a series of distortions and fabrications, and the effort of the Sandinistas to discredit the Contras by the manufacture of atrocities is now a point that has been very well documented.
It's Noam Chomsky's turn to respond, yeah. Among other things, to the Mr. Silva's original picture members. Of the totalitarian.
Well, let's just first of all talk about the facts. I stated again that the military leadership of the Contras is almost entirely drawn from the top, from the Somoza's National Guard. In fact, it's 46 out of 48 of the top military commanders, according to Edgar Chamorro,
who just cited.
These are not citers. This is the top military commander.
You engaged in a series of fabrications of truth, and it's time that somebody had the opportunity of correcting your historical misstatements while you're still around.
Mr. Silber has a very good reason for not wanting me to talk, and that is that he knows what the truth is, and he doesn't want me. May I have a chance to say?
No, just let me finish.
It is his
Marcos.
Turn.
Marcos's army is the very army that helped Aquino into power. So when you try to take on the National Guard as if the National Guard was Somocistas, you misstate the case.
But
you also overlook
the
fact that there are plenty of National Guard members who are supporting the Sandinistas.
Mr. Chomsky,
now you go ahead and destroy the truth.
Now here you're having an action, a good example of totalitarianism, that is to ensure.
I'm the first one that stopped your monopoly on misinformation.
The idea that I have a monopoly of misinformation in the American press is a little ridiculous. Really? I control the American press? Let's go back to the facts. 46 out of the 48 top military commanders of the Contras are Somozist officers. You can find that in a congressional report. You can find it from Edgar Chamorro, who is the CIA-appointed spokesman. That's exactly what I said. It's exactly true. As for the idea that the Sandinistas have carried out massacres on a par with those that we have been carrying out in Central America, this is really astonishing. In El Salvador, the number of people massacred since 1978, since 1979, when we moved in force, is on the order of 60,000. In Guatemala, where we incidentally have been supporting it all the way through with military aid, which never terminated and are now supporting it enthusiastically, the number of people massacred is on the order of 100,000. Mr. Silber referred to the Mosquito Indians, who were badly treated, I should say. The figures are that approximately 60 or 70 were killed, many more than that, whereas in contrast, about 5 or 6,000 people have been killed, and I don't mean killed. This is not garden variety killing. This is torture, murder, and mutilation. Massively documented in great detail by our forces. Now, there are crimes of the Sandinistas, there's no doubt, but they are undetectable in comparison with the crimes of the governments that we supported.
I'd like to go back to two central arguments that this whole thing turns on. One is the notion that Sandinist Nicaragua poses a security threat to the United States and to this hemisphere. Secondly, that we owe it to the so-called Democrats and the democratic notion to help people who are carrying our standard in the region. John Silber, are these equal arguments, and do you support them both?
Well, I don't support the presence of about 6,500 Soviet and Cuban troops in Nicaragua. I don't support the presence of 24 armed helicopter gunships supplied by the Soviet Union to Nicaragua, or 150 battle tanks, or about 1,200 trucks. And 300
ground air
missiles.
But what of the notion that it's a security threat to this country?
Well, it's not a security threat yet, and neither was Hitler a security threat when he suspended all freedoms of the Germans in February 28, 1933. He wasn't even a security threat that was serious in 1936 when he rearmed the Rhineland. But by the time that the Allies got around to recognizing that he was a threat, it cost us tens of millions of lives, and it took 6 years in which to defeat him. Now, at the present time, we can put an end to the Sandinista dictatorship in Central America without using a single American life. All we have to do is help pay for the firemen. There's a fire going on down there. We don't have to put the fire out, but we're asked to help pay for the firemen. If we wait and we decide to do nothing until the Soviets establish a land base there and it develops as it will develop if we allow it to happen, we will then have to face the fact of a possibility of war. It is not a present threat, it is a vector. If people don't have sense enough to understand that a small fire in a room is a threat, not because it's a small fire, but because small fires have a way of becoming big fires, then we haven't learned anything from history.
It's Noam Chomsky's turn on the question of the security threat to the hemisphere and to this country.
Well, to talk of Nicaragua as a security threat is a bit like asking what security threat Luxembourg poses to the Soviet Union. Mr. Silber mentioned Hitler, and I'm old enough to remember Hitler's speeches in which he talked about the threat to Germany posed by Poland, from which Germany had to defend itself. And we're facing that kind of, even that's unfair to Hitler to draw that example. The fact is, if we want, it is quite true that Nicaragua is now Soviet-armed and heavily armed. And the reason is that it's being attacked by a superpower which has specifically blocked every other source of supply. Up until the May embargo last year, 20% of Nicaraguan trade was with the Soviet bloc. Prior to that, its arms were coming from everywhere. We then blocked arms from everywhere else. As we intensify the war, they do exactly what the U.S. government wants them to do, namely they divert resources from the social reforms, which we really fear, and they turn them towards militarization. If we want the idea that Nicaragua could attack it, the countries of, I might add that the countries of Latin America regard this as hysterical lunacy. All the Contadora countries, all the support countries, which include all of the relatively democratic countries in Latin America, are pleading with us to call off the war against the Contras, because they understand perfectly well exactly what it's doing. It's forcing them to be a militarized state, and it's creating a danger of a wider war in the region. If we want to get the Soviet tanks out of Nicaragua, and the Soviet advisors, and there are very few, the Cuban advisors out, what we should do is very simple, and everyone in the government knows it: call off the war, and they will return to what they were doing before we attacked them, namely creating the most effective social reforms in the hemisphere, which were widely praised by the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, organizations like Oxfam, which described them as unique in their experience in 76 developing countries, and which we have retarded and stopped by this attack.
We were running so far over time that we might just as well keep going. I want you to deal with the question of democracy and our responsibility to aid the cause.
Right.
You criticize the Sandinistas,
right,
but do you really want to embrace the Contras as a vehicle of democracy?
Absolutely. And let's dispense with the myth that somehow these were lovely Democrats until we drove them into the hands of the Soviet Union by our opposition. That is a myth, that is a fabrication of history that Mr. Chomsky knows is false. As a matter of fact, when the revolution came to an end in July of 1979, the Sandinistas came to Washington after having pledged the Organization of American States that they would hold free elections. They then received $117 million in loans. They received credit from the World Bank through the intercession of the United States. They were very well received and very well treated. And on September of 1979, they already began their process of repression. So the notion that we drove them into the hands of the communists is utterly false.
But it's a fabrication. The question is the Contras as a vehicle for democracy?
The Contras do not have overt support among the Nicaraguan people at the present time inside Nicaragua for one obvious reason. Hitler's opponents did not have any obvious support in Germany after Hitler had taken over that country. In a totalitarian state, the opposition does not have any effective voice. You don't find that effective voice in the Soviet Union right now either. You have isolated groups of refuseniks. But in Nicaragua, you have a leadership: Robelo, Cruz, Chamorro, Colero. Those are major figures, major democratic figures who opposed Somoza, and many of them went to jail, and they are followed by literally thousands of people who are opposing the Sandinista dictatorship. To try to write these people off as totalitarians and to come up with that trumped-up nonsense about the atrocities that those people have committed is just a good example of doublethink. This is just a 1984 exercise by Mr. Chomsky, for which he has already established a worldwide reputation. It's rubbish.
Mr. Chomsky, when you hear this call to come to the rescue of democracy and democratic forces, what do you answer?
I would be delighted if the United States were to reverse its long-standing policies of opposing democratic forces throughout Central America and begin to support those forces. Now, to return to Nicaragua and to return to the real world, I never described the Sandinistas as perfect Democrats or whatever your phrase was. What I did was quote the World Bank, Oxfam, the Jesuit Order, and others who recognized that what they were doing was to use the meager resources of that country for the benefit of the poor majority. That's why health standards shot up. That's why literacy shot up. That's why agrarian reform proceeded, the only place in the region. That's why subsistence agriculture improved and consumption of food increased. And that's why we attacked them. It had nothing to do with democracy. Now, I also did not say that Cruz and Rabello committed atrocities. In fact, Cruz and Rabello sit in Washington and don't do anything. They're figureheads who we concocted. The people who commit atrocities are the Contra forces led by the National Guard, and of all the figures he mentioned, one is involved, namely Calero, who's an ultra-right-wing businessman and represents the extremist narrow business forces in Nicaragua. Now, if we had the slightest concern with democracy, which we do not in our foreign affairs and never have, we would turn to countries where we have influence, like El Salvador. Now, in El Salvador, they don't call the archbishop bad names. What they do is murder him. They do not censor the press. They wipe the press out. They sent the army in to blow up the church radio station. The editor of the independent newspaper was found in a ditch, mutilated, and cut to pieces with machete.
I'm talking about 1980. You are a systematic liar.
Did these things happen or didn't they?
These things did not happen in the context in which you suggest
really?
At all. And when you suggest that Cruz is simply a figurehead and does nothing, you overlook the fact that Arturo Cruz was the ambassador of the Sandinistas
yes.
to the United States.
And he is
and
always...
he was the head banker of the
exactly,
Sandinistas
in
until
the United
he finally
States.
Broke with them
and
when
exactly,
he found out
fine,
that they were utterly totalitarian.
You are a phony, mister, and it's time that the people read you correctly. It's clear why you want to divert me from the discussion that
no,
I'm...
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
no,
because but let you me, get tired of rubbish.
Excuse me. The Arturo Cruz, exactly as I said, was in the United States. He was brought...
Why was he in the United States?
He was brought to the United... He was in the United States, and he defected in the United States. He was brought back to Nicaragua to as a political figure because the business-based opposition there had no credible candidate. He did not participate in the elections as he could have, in part because of...
He couldn't...
May I continue?
No, because you're lying again.
I got to cut you both
you
off.
Didn't, I didn't say anything
the
yet.
The torpors were the ones who prevented Cruz from participating in the election.
I got to cut you both
that's
off.
That's another fabrication. But let's
You've
continue
given,
with...
You know, except we can't. I'm afraid we're out of time. You've given President Reagan a tough act to follow on Sunday night. We thank you both, John Silber and Noam Chomsky.
Okay.